We just want to welcome everyone today. For those that are here today in the auditorium and those that are watching online, and I know there are lots and lots that are watching online, so we're just very, very blessed to have you this morning. I'm Pastor Todd Pratt of Emerge Church, and it is our delight to celebrate Jesus and Christmas with you, and our virtual no-touch welcome and contact form is now available. It's on our website. You can go to your smartphone, go into the menu, and then click the contact, or just go into the website and click the contact, and just fill out that form that you can see there on the screen or here in the room, and fill it out. Say hi. If you have a prayer request, we would love to hear from you. We pray for you absolutely every single week, and just a delight to be part of the family of God. Oh, come on. Somebody say amen. A brand new life awaits you, so let's get started today. Amen. All right, we might have to get you to do it manually again. So go to the next slide, please. Go to the next slide, please. There we are. Emerge Church Community Christmas sharing is still on, and we've extended it because, the feedback and the response has been incredible. So we're actually going to go till March now. And actually till Christmas Day. And all the details are there. Please talk to Pastor Ashley, and that will be fantastic. Next slide. Gingerbread. That's why I got the weird stares, because I was in the wrong announcement. Yes, the food sharing is still on, and details are on our e-bulletin on what to bring this week. Now, the gingerbread house contest is still on, and it is running until the 25th of December, and great response in regard to that as well. So please, if you have little ones or bigger ones that want to make a gingerbread house, oh, please join in. I think there's like close to 40 already that are doing it. Wow, like, wow. Okay, our declaration today. Let's say it together here, and let's say it together online. I have a biblical worldview. My life is not led by opinions, but by every word that proceeds from God. I don't base my identity on what I do, but who I am in Christ. I am a deeply loved child of God, and nothing will ever change that. Every good thing I have is not based on what I deserve, but what my generous God delights to give. Decisions of life and death, I lay before me every day. I choose life. God has great plans for me, and they come to pass as I continually allow him to direct my path. And I share these truths with words and actions, giving others the exact same opportunity to life as I was given. 35 years ago, I was given the opportunity to life. Jesus came, and he touched me in a powerful way, and I will never be the same. And from that moment on, I've been sharing about the good news of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Now, thank you. Okay. Advent Rediscovered. I've been enjoying this week because the research and delving in and diving in, it has been actually very impactful to me. But confession time today. I've never been one really that is into the liturgical Christian calendar. I always thought that was mainline-ish, and that was the stuff I had left, and old and religious and mostly irrelevant, the old service books of reading. And now, don't get me wrong, if it's only dead tradition, it's wrong. But this is what I've discovered. The older I get, with lots more gray, I've discovered that these things are packed with life. The Advent calendar now becomes very, very important to me, not just because I'm a lead pastor and I have to share these things and I have to be sort of mindful of it, but they've been very impactful to me. Another one that was I was personally basically oblivious to was the celebration of Epiphany. I don't know if I have it there. Yeah, there it is. Jim Rilling over at the Alliance Church here in town would always ask us every Christmas or just prior to Christmas as a ministerial, he would always say, ask us if we want to do something special for Epiphany. And the first couple of years, I just sort of like, okay, I don't know. And then probably by the third year, I was like kind of bold and I sort of asked. See, prior to that, it was kind of like my thought was, if anyone had an epiphany on something exciting to do after Christmas, that's what I kind of thought he meant. Like if there was that light bulb, boom, hey, why don't we have a... And then I realized, do some research again, Christian calendar things, and then I realized this. Epiphany is a Christian feast, and it's so good. It celebrates the revelation of God incarnate as Jesus Christ. Can you get any more excited and any more exciting than that? It's most often celebrated January 6th of the year. So maybe January 6th this year, or coming into 2021, maybe you'll have a moment of celebrating, a moment celebrating the epiphany of the revelation that Jesus is here for us. Now, as you can see there, in Western Christianity, the feast, for the most part, commemorates the visit of the Magi to the Christ child. And thus, Jesus' physical manifestation to the Gentiles is also often called, Three Kings Day. Things I never realized, never knew, but now I do. There you go. Today I want to talk about the twofold directive of Advent. And so many might say, twofold? What do you mean by twofold? Well, the first one, everyone or most people are mindful of. It is the celebration of the birth of Christ. And Tammy alluded to it because we've been doing this in our TNT talks. We've been going through the four messages, the four liturgies of the season. And this week is joy. And if you haven't seen our talk, then just go onto YouTube and go into TNT and see our talk on joy, our boing, 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 bright, bright light sign joy. So the first one was hope. Second one is preparation or peace. The third one is joy. And the fourth one that we're going to be ending with this week in our TNT talks is the power of love. And the best of these, the greatest of these, is love. Now, Advent 2020 began Sunday, November 29th, and it ends Thursday, December 24th. Sidebar, did you realize on the day of Christmas my true love gave to me, on the second day of on the 30th, on the 700th day of Christmas, you know, on the 12th day of Christmas. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but the 12 days of Christmas that we sing about all the time is from Christmas Eve to the Epiphany, January 6th, is the 12 days. Now, you know. What many might not understand is the second very, very important reality of Advent. See, Advent season has always been focused on expectation. And someone is expecting. And the first thing, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word expecting, or I'll give it away, someone is expecting. Yes. Now, as a husband, I had the privilege of being obviously in the room. But now, as a grandfather, I'm not bitter, you are relegated out to the waiting room, and you are expecting the message, someone to run out to you and say, it's a boy or it's a girl, expecting that magic, that wonder in the air of the baby has been born. And our last one, of course, was Daxton. How much more? is the expectation of the baby Jesus. He was born to this world and became the answer to the world. Now, what you might not know is from the 6th to the 12th or 13th century, especially, Advent also came to mean the expectancy of his second coming. Did you know? Now you know. In the clouds, Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to come in the clouds, just like the Bible says, and he is going to bring his church home. The word Advent is derived from the Latin word Adventus, simply meaning coming. So for centuries, it was interchangeable, the celebration of the baby, Jesus, and the celebration of the second coming as the glorified King of Kings, just like Kruma alluded to today. His birth and his return. His birth and his return. That, for centuries, was the power of Advent. Karl Barth is penned to say, it is between the fulfillment promise of Christ's first coming and the yet-to-be-fulfilled promise of his second coming. That's the hope we have. He goes on to say, unfulfilled and fulfilled promises are related to each other as dawn and sunrise. Both are about promise. If anyone at all, then it is precisely in the light of his coming that faith becomes Advent faith. It's about expectancy. Expectation. See, faith knows for whom and for what it is waiting. It is fulfilled faith because it lays hold of the fulfilled promise. He finishes by saying, the promise of Israel was the promise to the church is Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that one again. That's good. The promise to Israel, to the Jewish people of ages past, and the promise to the church is Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. He has come and he will come again. Come on. He has come and he will come again. This is the essence of Advent. So you've probably guessed, as we rediscover the power of Advent, I'm going to be talking about the second one today. Less understood, but equally important. Or Dr. J.D. Greer says, there are few things in the New Testament that are talked more about than Jesus Christ's return. He goes on to say that we must have an eternal worldview to stay centered and to know how to live our lives. It keeps our priorities straight, not storing up treasures here on earth, not focusing on irrelevant things, but being mindful of our first priority of sharing the good news so that people will not perish, and living for him. That's why we're here. This world is for but a few seconds. Eternity is forever. Dr. Greer, he used the illustration of a ball of yarn. And again, all illustrations pale, but he used the illustration. He said, you know, he pulled out and he had, you know, this is birth. This is your childhood. This is adolescence. This is your maybe getting married. This is your adult life. This is your death. And it probably was 2 inches long on this piece of yarn. And then he started pulling out the rest of the ball of yarn. He says, I'm not going to pull it all out, but I have over 100 feet in this bag. How much more is eternity important? Oh, come on. Oh, come on. If you live 5 years or if you live 85 years, it is but a second in the realm of eternity. If you've lost a dear loved one, you know that it's but a whisper away. It's but a whisper away until you broach, until you go into the eternal realm of Jesus to live forever. Oh, perspective, church. Oh, to understand perspective, to be mindful of perspective. Now, am I an escapist? No. No, I'm not. But what I am is a watchman on the wall, and I am a rescuer called to preach the glorious gospel so that those will not perish, will not go to hell, but will live forever with Jesus. This moment is but a second. I'm already 56 years old. How did that happen? I still think I'm only 55. It's incredible. It's a moment. And the longer you live, no, people 3, 5, 10, 12, you don't get this because you just think world will, this side will never end. Hit 40, hit 50, hit 60, hit 70, hit 80. You start to realize it's but a moment. So, in closing this portion of the message, because this message has been brought to you by Joy. Advent is the time to prepare our hearts to celebrate Christ, his birth, and his soon return. Now, just for a few minutes, I want to share a few thoughts. Put your seatbelts on, because here we go. Back in 1999, I was graciously removed from being the youth pastor of a church. They did not need my services anymore. And I clearly, Tammy and I clearly had a mandate from God that we were to not leave Belleville, Ontario. And for everyone that's watching in Belleville, Ontario right now, they're going, woo, he talked about us. We knew that we were not to leave. In fact, it was clear, it was a directive from God, you're not going anywhere. But it was the fall of 98, into 1999, where I believe that God called us into itinerant ministry, traveling ministry. I'd always wondered about it. I'd always thought about it. I was always enamored by people going to camps and seeing them traveling from here to there. And I was struck by it, and I thought, okay, maybe it's time now for me to step into itinerant traveling evangelism. And 1999, party like it's 1999. And what happened from 1999 broaching into 2000? What was it? Oh, you remember Y2K. And it was the panic of the world. It was the shock. I'm thinking people over 25 or 30 or 35 remember. Hard to believe that that's like 20 years ago. Oh, my gracious. Stop it. Planes are going to fall from the sky. There will be no food. There will be no water. There will be no electricity. The world will end. All computers will shut down. The information on earth will cease as we know. Get ready. Fill your bathtubs with water. Get toilet paper. It was incredible that the word was fill your bathtubs with water because there will be no more water. There will be no more food. The earth will end as we know it. Y2K, Y2K, oh my goodness. It came and it went. Guess what? The computers didn't crash and burn. Planes didn't fall from the sky. But then, this is what I hung my hat on. I don't know how many people are mindful of Mondex. But I wondered if this is what I was supposed to launch my ministry in, warning people about Mondex. This was the establishment of the chip that was to go inside the body that would be now the information piece of your life. And the scientists had discovered that because of the heat and temperature changes of the body, there was only two places good in the body to have this chip inserted. Guess where? The forehead and the wrist. Isn't that interesting? So early on in my itinerant ministry, I went around and warned and I challenged. Was this the thing that was going to infiltrate the earth that had already been around for 20 years in secret and in hiding and now was being exposed and it was going to spur on the inevitable return of Jesus Christ? I still believe it's going to happen, but it wasn't then. And then I realized, you know what? I'm going to stick with the gospel. And this is what I started to preach. Preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Preach that he's the hope of the world. Teach and train people on how to share this good news with the express purpose of seeing people make decisions for Jesus, step over from darkness into light, death to life, and become lifelong disciples. Lifelong disciples. Did you hear me today? Lifelong disciples. Not for 3-4 years until it's not working out anymore. Not for 3 or 4 months until the buzz is gone. But to stay as a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ for the rest of your life. Got to move on. Fast forward to 2020. Everyone listen. And the proposed global mandate of the economic reboot. In the midst of COVID. And the plans to end personal financial freedom and to establish a new global communist reality. And then there's the purposing of the mandated vaccination, which would not only mark people, but hinder people's access to life without the vaccination. Sound familiar? Who knows? Don't know. Don't know if this is the end of the world. Don't know. But I'm called to challenge. I'm called to preach. I'm called to warn. I'm called to preach the good news. Now, I'm not necessarily a conspiracy theorist. Necessarily. I have moments. I broach into it. Because many things come and many things go. But the steadfast thing is, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Now, I'm going to close with this. Aren't you glad you got Jesus? Aren't you glad you got Jesus? I remember the night terrors. Come on. You know, it was terror that actually got me to Jesus. Night terrors every night, wondering if this was the day the mushroom would come, the end of the Cold War. Would Reagan push the button or would the Russian president? Is the world going to end tonight? Who's going to push the button? And that terror, that fear, that agony brought me to Jesus. So thanks be to God if terror and agony and fear are bringing people to Jesus now. Isn't that glorious? Because it's good news. And now I've got hope. And now I've got eternity. And now I've got joy. Now, gotta have to do it again, please. 4 passages of scripture in regard to the Lord's return, and then we're gonna close. Matthew and Luke, who are disciples of Jesus Christ, they wrote autobiographies of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ's last speech about the end of the world, Luke wrote and recorded some. Matthew recorded some. And this is what Luke wrote. People will be terrified that they will see coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then everyone will see the coming of man, that's Jesus, coming in the clouds with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, look up, because your salvation is near. In other words, your salvation draweth nigh. Matthew went on to say, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes and masks and funny shields that we have to wear when we're singing. All these things, the beginning of birth pains. You'll be handed over and persecuted and put to death. Hallelujah. Isn't this good news? Praise the name of Jesus. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from their faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will come and appear and deceive many people with their message. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm till the end will be saved. This is the gospel. This is scripture. This isn't conspiracy stuff. This is real. This is going to happen. And here's your sign. Here's your sign. Here's your sign. You will know the end of the world by this. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Does it get any clearer, any more understandable than that? You know, I was going to say that this is not a feel-good message, but it is a feel-good message if you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, it ain't much of a good feel story. There will be great distresses unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never equaled again, verse 21. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. Why? Because they didn't surrender to Christ. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky, in the power and great glory, and he will send his angels with loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. And two more very, very quickly. Got to move it ahead, please. There we are. Another one. There we are. This is Paul's writing to the Thessalonian church, again, talking about the end of the age. Just before, actually, it is the return of Jesus Christ. He says this, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God." See, it's the same stuff. He's just repeating what was Jesus Christ's speech a matter of a few years or previous. First, the believers who are dead will raise from the graves, blow right out of the graves. And if you've been cremated, God will just gather all of those pieces of particles and you'll be gathered again. And you will fly with glory. Then together with him, you are still alive and remain on the earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Forever. I looked up in the Greek what forever says, what forever means. It means forever. Now here's interesting. It says, so encourage each other with these words. The next one. This is the last one we're going to look at today. This is the writer of Hebrews. Again, he wrote about the return of Jesus Christ. And watch his words. And this is our scripture for the day. He said, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise." Somebody say amen. "Let us think of ways to motivate each other in acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, especially as you see the day of his return approaching." Huh. Now I'm going to close with these three simple thoughts. These are our takeaways from those four large passages of scripture that will encourage us today. You here and you watching online. Number one, God is calling us to be watchful. And we saw it in Matthew 24, 27. We saw it in Luke 21, 28. And we saw it finally in Hebrews 10, 25. See, it says, as you see the day approaching, as you see the day of his return approaching. The other scripture says, when you see these things happen, you will know the end is near. In other words, it's going to be obvious to the human eye. You're going to watch it with your own eyes. If you have eyes to see. If you have eyes to see. God is always calling us to be watchful and ready. See the signs. Watch for it. See it everywhere you go. I'm enamored, and I say this all the time, I'm enamored by the terror. But I know the terror has to come. Because people won't surrender. Some people won't surrender to Jesus without the terror. I wouldn't surrender to Jesus without terror. Some will not surrender to Jesus without being terrified. Be mindful of all the inconsistencies in mandated policies. Did I just say that? Number two. Church, listen to me today. God, in the consideration of Jesus Christ's return, number two, be vigilant. Hold on tightly to the hope we profess. Stand firm till the end. Stand firm till the end. Get right before God. If you're morally in compromise, if you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, then stop. Ask Jesus for strength and for grace to stop. As Mylon Lefevre used to sing, love God, hate sin, refuse to lose, and live to win. We've heard it lots in the last 20 years, and it's so true. God is calling us to finish well. Finish well. Do not be in the crowd of those who hearts grow cold and bitter and get offended and live in bitterness. Live fullness in Christ. Live with joy. Live abundantly in him. And finally, if you can have the worship team come back, sorry. I wanted to call you back long ago. Come on up here. Run, run, run. Hurry, run. Got to move it ahead again. Move it ahead manually, please. Keep moving. Keep moving. There we are. Be mindful of one another's. Don't you find it interesting? This struck me this week as I'm preparing this message. It says, considering and being mindful of the Lord's soon return, encourage one another, motivate one another, keep congregating one with another, and love one another. Don't you find that interesting? Because of the Lord's soon return, go ahead. Because of the Lord's soon return, love one another, encourage one another, stay congregating together, one with another. Why does Jesus put such an emphasis on strengthen one another, encourage one another? You know why? Because when we get isolated and we hear the news, and we're bombarded with the information. It comes over us like a rag, like a filthy rag. It comes over us with intense grossness, weighs us down, runs us out, runs out of steam. We run out of steam and our own strength. We get tired. We get wearisome. 10 months of this stuff. It's been 10 months of this stuff, and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. In fact, they say the numbers are spiking, and there's going to be 30 million people with COVID-19, 50 billion people with COVID-19. And it just seems to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And every time I watch the news, it gets worse and worse and worse. That's why we need to encourage one another and strengthen one another. And you know what? Sometimes we need somebody to help us snap out of it. Sometimes we need one another to snap out of it and remember that Jesus is Lord. Whew. If the Lord came back tonight, I'm asking here in this room, I'm asking with those watching online, I'm asking for those that'll watch someday online. If Jesus Christ came back tonight, are you ready? I didn't say, are you perfect? I didn't say, have you got all your stuff together? I just said, are you ready? Are you trusting Jesus exclusively? Do you know that the blood of Jesus is the only thing? Like I said last week, do you know the blood of Jesus is the only thing that can set you free, can heal you? His grace is sufficient. Be about the Father's business. Be ready. Be about the Father's business. Because Jesus Christ is coming back very, very soon. Is it going to be ushered in by Y2K and by this mandated vaccine and by the global reboot turning us into a communist state? I don't know. But guess what? I got good news. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Stand with me, church. Strengthen one another. It's that simple. It's that simple. Invite someone to church next Sunday. Invite someone to watch online for next Sunday. Be mindful, be vigilant, be watching, be ready. Holy Spirit, have your way today. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Both those that are watching now live and those that'll watch in the days ahead. Speak, reorder us, challenge us, center us in on truth. Let us be mindful, Lord, that this world is but for a moment. We need to be about the Father's business. Hallelujah. 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 Lift a hand and raise to Jesus, because your redemption, your salvation draws near. Because he is here. 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 He reigns, he reigns, he reigns, he reigns. Speak to your people, Lord, yeah. You reign on high, Lord, forevermore. Oh, we worship you, Lord. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Unshakable, unchanging God. Bless your people today, Lord. Encourage your people today. Comfort your people today. Thank you. Let a wave of your presence come, Lord. Let a wave of your presence, Lord, come, Lord. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb.
Jesus. As we close this service, I just feel impressed by Holy Spirit to speak to, again, everyone. It's great and glorious times. It's dreadful days of the Lord. It's great and glorious days of the Lord. If you have Jesus and you're walking in the fullness, the abundance, then you know the peace, the joy, the love, and the hope of Jesus. If you're not, you don't. And Holy Spirit said, Jesus said Holy Spirit would come to convince and to convict. Bible says, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come to convince and to convict. If you're not living right, Holy Spirit will convict you, will make you feel guilty. And he does that because he loves you, because he wants you centered in on life. Now, if there's anyone that is watching or hearing this message today that has never surrendered to Jesus, oh gosh, this is a great and glorious day to surrender to Jesus. Now, listen to me. I'm not talking about those that are new in Jesus that get saved every week. You know what it's like? You remember when you first got saved and you blew it, and then you, next Sunday you came and got saved again, and then you blew it that week, and then you got saved again the next week, and you got saved again the next week. I got good news for you. God saves once, and he keeps forever. Come on. God saves once. If you've called on the name of the Lord, you will be saved once. Just stay with them and finish well. If there's somebody that's never done that yet, then please do it today so that you can know life and that abundantly. And you can be with us forever in heaven. Jesus, bless this service, bless this time, bless those that will someday watch this message. Bless us today, we pray. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for loving us. You love your own. Bless you, Jesus. God bless you, church. We love you. Let's sing some more. Let's sing some more. Hallelujah. God bless you.